Good morning, everyone. It's very strange sitting there and then everybody went quiet. I thought, well, that's a sign for me to start. But you're very, very welcome. And also that includes those who are sitting on solid ground. And if we have any visitors with us, a very special word of welcome. And we're all invited round for a cup of tea or coffee afterwards for a time of fellowship in solid ground. So please do avail of that if possible. There's just a few announcements. First of all, if you're looking for a bit of exercise, Grey Abbey's annual 10K and 5K round the springs is taking place. It'll be this Friday, the 5th of July at 7:30 start. So please do come, and the entries are taken from 4 p.m. in the village hall. So if you want, you can run it, or else you can walk it, and whatever you like to do, as long as you get round it. Yeah, it'll be this Friday night, and hopefully the weather is suitable for that. So that's the 10 and 5K run round the springs. Also, just remember, there's an orange service here this afternoon at 3:30. And if you want to come to that, you're very, very welcome. And this will take place here at 3:30, and Neil will be speaking at it. Also, I received that there's a sign-up sheet for K4C. You know, during the summer, it's just slightly different for the kids here. And we're looking for a few volunteers. We need 3 volunteers each week. And there is only 3 weeks up during the summertime. So if we had 9 volunteers to cover that would be great. And all the material is out and is provided. And they're sitting out in the solid ground in the welcome area. So if you think you can do it, and you know, I suppose it's a bit like myself, just let somebody else do it. And maybe we should say, no, I'll not let somebody else do it. I'll do it myself. So if you're in that mind, please speak to Rebecca or else sign up on the sheet and say, right, I'll do 1 week of the 9 of the 3 weeks. And that would be great if you could do that. Also, Solid Rock and Solid Ground Cafes are running right out through the summer. So if you're free on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, please drop in. That would be very, very good indeed. And just to inform that Neil will be on leave come this Wednesday until the 1st of August. And if anybody's requiring the services of a minister, please contact myself or any of the elders and we'll facilitate that for you. Also, can I just say to session members that there will be a short meeting in the quiet room after this morning service. That's for all session. So we're here to worship God, and you'll see from our sheet that our theme this morning in mission is life to Jesus. And in that theme, I'd just like to start with a verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and it reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, and I suppose at this holiday time we feel, whoa, we'll just give up a bit and have a relaxing time. But God never gives up. He doesn't go on holidays. He's there 24/7 for us. And no matter how you feel that we're praying for a situation and we seem not to get the answer, this year's telling us not to give up. Because God's time is perfect and he will come through for each and every one of us. So as we think about mission, let us come before God. As we sing our first praise, and it's entitled Across the Lands, and that is talking about mission and God's creation and goodness to us. So let us stand and sing Across the Lands.
Creation holds you.
Let us pray. Lord, we come this morning to say we adore you. How we marvel at the depth of your love, and how we wonder at the love of your grace. How we are astonished by the glorious balance of your creation, and the way that you have just put everything so perfectly together. We are in awe of the vastness of your universe. We are so privileged to be called your children, and we are accepted and forgiven and embraced by you. You are almighty, above and beyond everything that we can comprehend. You are holy, beautiful, and full of love, and we adore you. Lord, we are sorry when we get so carried away by the business of each day, we never stop to dwell in your love. We are sorry when we allow the stress and demands of work or family to erode and wear away your hope and trust. We are sorry when we are caught up in conflict and frustration, when we harbour resentment instead of giving out forgiveness. We are sorry when we seek to be fulfilled by food and drink and entertainment, yet we fail to feast on your truth. We are sorry when we desire the wrong things, blinded by the media, and forget to engage with the real treasures of your love and justice. You're all love, you're all hope, all forgiveness, all truth. And Lord, you are all that we need. Well, Lord, at this holiday time, we do pray for all those that are taking holidays or away on holidays at the present time. And Lord, we especially pray for Neil and Ruth and Archie and Jack as they go off this week to spend a month together on holiday. Lord, we pray for that family. We pray for energizing. We pray for relaxation. We pray for fun and enjoyment. And Lord, we pray that they may just enjoy each other's companies without stresses and strains of what church life can bring. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, we pray for safety and peace upon them in their holiday time. So Lord, as we look for the week ahead, for the worries and anxieties, for the joys and the expectations that may bring, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that we may be able to just lay everything at your feet. And what you do in our lives is only but right that we have it. So Lord, again, all we need is you, and we thank you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand again to sing our second praise, and it's entitled The Heart of Worship. I suppose we have sung it before, and maybe it's pretty new, and maybe we find it a wee bit difficult to sing a bit. But let us sing it with vigour and open hearts, and we will get through it.
Just to bring Good morning, everyone. Good to see you out this morning. And we're going to turn to God's Word as we finish off our series on what it means to give your life to Jesus. So we've looked at what that means in relation to salvation and to being a disciple, to coming into fellowship with God and with each other, living lives of worship, giving our finances. And today we're talking about mission. And this passage that we're looking at, I've referred to, I think, on every occasion, the Great Commission. So this passage is the Great Commission, and we're going to look at it in more detail today. But it comes at the end, the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He has died on the cross. He has risen from the grave. He has met with the ladies who were at the tomb. There's the guard's report and the lies that were spread about Jesus and what had really happened. And the message that Jesus gave to those ladies was, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there I will meet with them, and they will see me." So we're picking up our reading in verse 16 of chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel. This is the Word of God. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. We're going to sing a song now with the boys and girls before they go out to K4C. And I mean, this song actually helps us to begin to understand what that promise that Jesus makes is really about. Jesus says, "Surely I'm with you always, all the time, everywhere." And we're going to sing a song called "Wide, Wide is the Ocean." This song is about God's love. And now, this illustration was easier whenever I was in Clochy, because the water you see in Clochy is the sea. The water you see here is the loch. But it's still all connected. If you try to think how wide is the ocean, well, there might be one ocean and it's called a name, and there might be a point where that ocean changes to another name, another ocean. But you can get into one ocean and you can sail, or you'd be far better in a boat with an engine, and go around all of those oceans, because they're all connected. They go right the way around the world. So really, the oceans don't start and they don't end. They're continuous. And that's what God's love is. And that love is with us always, part of that promise. So let's stand together and sing, "Wide, Wide is the Ocean." We're going to continue to worship now. Margaret, you're not going anywhere. I thought she was trying to escape there. Oh, you're only closing the door. That's all right. We're going to continue to worship God with our tithes and our offerings. Our offerings will now be received. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the many blessings that you have poured out into our lives. We thank you for the blessing of Jesus. We thank you for the kingdom that he began to build here on earth. We thank you, Lord, for our commission to go out into the world and to continue that building process. We thank you, Lord, for the people who are here, who are part of it, and for their generosity, Lord, in their giving today. And we pray, Lord, that indeed our offering will be a marvelous tool in your work here on earth. So we give this offering, Lord, from thankful hearts, knowing that you will bring people to know Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. A couple of months ago, we started a little thing called This Time Tomorrow, and we invite someone to come up to tell us what they're going to be doing this time tomorrow, and we will pray for them at about 5 to 12 tomorrow, and other people who do the same job. So today I've asked Andrew Beattie to come up and share with us a little bit about what he does and what he might be doing this time tomorrow. So Andrew, most of us know you, but there might be some people who don't know you yet, and we can't take it for granted everybody knows everyone, but tell everybody first of all what it is you do.
Right. I'm Andrew, if you don't know, and we have a family business in Banninger, based in Bellew, and we deal in tyres and car servicing and MOT work, and it's my dad's business, founded about 27 years ago. He's since retired. We still call on him every now and again, and he likes to kind of pop in, keep an eye on us, obviously. It's my brother Simon and I who run the business, and we have 11 staff, one of which you may know is Michael.
He didn't even flinch there, he didn't even smile at all.
Yeah,
so I'm one of their employees.
We like to think we're a team, you know. It's not just me or my brother, it's everybody, and we obviously couldn't do the business or run the business day to day without everyone, you know. So,
now you're not a tyre fitter by trade, Andrew.
Absolutely not.
I've seen him in action. He's not a tyre fitter.
It's the customer's interest that I don't touch the car.
What's your role in the business then?
Well, my background as such is in accountancy. That's what I'm qualified in as such, although I don't really, I suppose, think of myself as an accountant anymore. I would be out front of house trying to help, obviously speaking to people as they come in, trying to work with our staff to try and help things to move as smoothly as possible. And whenever I'm not doing that, I obviously, if the opportunity's there, try to get the behind the scenes stuff done, you know, the paperwork and all that fun stuff, you know.
So what fun stuff will you be doing at 5 minutes to 12 tomorrow, do you think? Well, I know you can have plans, but when you get on the Monday morning, those things can change. What have you planned to be doing at 5 to 12?
Well, as an accountant as such, it's very exciting when the start of a new month comes around, because you've got month end to deal with. So I'm hoping myself to go on holidays today week. And so certainly tomorrow and over the next coming days this week, I'll be trying to focus on the paperwork side of things to try and get everything done, so that I can go away and not have to think about it, I guess. But Whether that happens or not, I don't know, because...
You need a George Angus. I go away on holidays and just leave it up to George, whereas you have to think about it until you get back.
Yeah, the paperwork's one of those things that not everybody likes to deal with, but I don't mind it, if I'm honest, but if I can, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow, and obviously just helping running the place.
Super, thank you. Well, Andrew, we will pray for you in a wee minute or two. That's grand. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to be praying also for the wee bit of feedback from the five-day clubs. So we know that many of our young people are involved in the CEF's five-day clubs, and there's a bit of a report out there about it. I think it might actually be in the TAP update. But they engaged with over 100 children over that week in the five or six villages that they were in. I mean, fair play to them. The sun did not exactly shine on them throughout that time. And Jack was in one of those teams, and he says the first night, he says, "Daddy, the talk sounded like this. Jesus! Loved!" They just got the odd word out. They were standing in below a tarpaulin, and they said the noise of the rain was drowning out the person who was trying to talk. But it didn't deter them. That was night one, but they went all through it for 5 nights. And hallelujah, two young people gave their lives to the Lord throughout that. And a number went home to think about it and talk about it. So that was really, really worthwhile. So that was excellent. And many of those young people are not here today. They're all away, and we'll be praying for them and thinking about what's going to be happening here with children throughout the summer. But also this morning, it is with sadness that we have to announce the death of one of our senior members. Maureen Foster passed away last Sunday, just about this time, last week. But you all know Maureen better than I did. Faithful woman of God. And I would have to say her funeral here on Wednesday was the least sad funeral that I've ever been at. There was just a real sense of peace amongst her family, Diane, David and Ivan, her children and the extended family. And we just want to pray for them. They still have lost mum, a granny and all the rest of those, a great granny, all of those relationships that she was. And we want to pray for them as well. So we do. So let's just come before God now and let's pray together. Lord, we do pray this morning for the Foster family and all of those connections. Lord, it is still sad whenever we lose a loved one. It leaves an emptiness, and the Foster family will certainly feel an emptiness, Lord, with Maureen's passing. But we thank you, Lord, for her legacy. We thank you for her witness and her testimony and amongst her family and in this congregation. And Lord, it gives us a real assurance of where she is today, a place that all of us want to be, Lord, with you for all eternity. But here on earth, we pray for Diane, David and Ivan and their families, that you would just draw alongside them, Lord, with that same assurance, Lord, that you are with them and that you want them to be with their mum and with you, as all of us, Lord, who put our trust in Jesus, as Maureen did, have that place assured for us in heaven. The song we were just singing, Lord, we want those words to be real for each of us. We do pray, Lord, today for Andrew, and we thank you, Lord, for his business. We thank you for what his business does. Keeps us safe on the road and all other tire businesses, Lord. We depend so much on our vehicles and our cars. And just as we were praying for Ronald and Clucky this morning and what he'll be doing this time tomorrow, keeping our cars safe and MOT'd and roadworthy, and Andrew's work, keeping them sticking to the road, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we have vehicles. We pray for safe driving on the peninsula over the summer and for all of us as we go on holidays. And we just pray for all who are running their own businesses, Lord. We know that that brings a different set of challenges than being an employee. And we just pray your blessing on Ronald and on Andrew and all our business people this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for your business, the business that you're at. And we thank you that we've been part of it and our young people have been part of that, Lord, in bringing two young people to a knowledge of who Jesus is. We pray for those seeds that have been sown, Lord. We know the parable that Jesus told us about seeds that are sown, and sometimes Satan comes and steals them away. We pray that these seeds would be deep-rooted, Lord, in these young people's lives, and that they, Lord, would grow to be fine young people of God, to have a testimony similar to that of Maureen Foster, to be known as a person of God. And we pray for all the other young people who were engaged with the good news of the gospel and went away to think about it. We pray that Satan wouldn't steal those words. And we pray indeed, Lord, over the summer, that those foundations, those seeds that have been laid, Lord, would be built upon, especially throughout Sism as they meet in July down in Clocky. We pray for that team, Lord, as they gather, as they stay in our halls and our church down there. We pray for all who are going to be working with them, who are going to be feeding them and giving them evening devotions, and just ensuring that they have everything that they need to minister in a powerful way amongst the young people down there. And again then, Lord, for August here in our own congregation, we pray for our Holiday Bible Club. We thank you for the group of young adults that we have who've taken the lead on it this year, who are planning it and organising it. Help us, Lord, to draw alongside them, supporting them in every way possible as they build upon the great work that they were doing at CEF. Lord, we want to be about your business. We want to be seeing people becoming disciples and being discipled in this congregation of your Son's church. And as we turn to your word now, Lord, we pray that you would impress upon our hearts the truth of the Great Commission so that we could go out into the world and fulfill it every day until Jesus returns. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. We turn again now to God's word. And we're going to finish off this series on what it means to give your life to Jesus. And today it's mission, the Great Commission. And Jesus commands us with great authority. And you know what it's like in the workplace or amongst children when someone assumes authority? You're not the boss of me. Or who died and made you king? Or you can't tell me what to do. These are things that you've maybe heard or said. They've maybe been said to you. Over the years, there are lots of situations in life where people assume authority. They get ideas above their station. They may in fact be gifted for the job, but there's been no formal public recognition of that job that they are to do and the qualifications that they have. And here at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he announces that he has all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Now there's one word on the screen there, and you can see it's underlined, all authority. We're going to hear that word four times in this sermon today, all authority. This word means complete, total, entire, whole, everything, all authority. There is no authority in heaven and earth that Jesus has not got. He has it all. But where's the evidence of that authority? Well, if we even think back, to Jesus, not his younger life. Think back to the beginning of his ministry, his earthly ministry. Mark chapter 1 verse 11, when Jesus was baptized. It's in a couple of the Gospels, but the heavens opened. And a voice from heaven that everyone hears. Everyone who is there, and there's lots of people there, they hear this voice saying, "This is my Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased." And from that moment, Jesus went out and began to preach and to teach. In Mark chapter 1 verse 22, it's written that he taught with authority. Authority that the other teachers didn't have. This teaching, this preaching of Jesus was different. It was different from anything they had heard before. And it was accompanied then by signs and wonders. Mark 1:27, just a few verses later. He even has authority to drive out evil spirits. The people were amazed, not just by the authority of what he said, but by the authority of what he was doing. And then later on, we see Jesus passing that authority on to his 12 disciples that he had chosen. He sends out the 12 in Matthew 10. He passes that authority to preach the good news of the kingdom and to drive out demons and perform miracles. But not only did Jesus have the authority over these things, he had the authority to forgive sins. Now this really rocked the people, because God alone has the authority to forgive sins. When Jesus was healing the paralytic man who was lowered down through the roof, he says the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. But not just the authority to forgive sin. Jesus also had the authority to deal with sin once and for all. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the shepherd and the flock, and he says the flock lays down his life for the sheep. And he says in chapter 10 verse 18, "No one takes it from me." That's his life. "No one takes my life from me," Jesus says. "I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from the Father. Jesus had the authority to go to the cross to die for our sin. He had the authority to rise from the dead, defeating sin, providing a resurrection for us. The authority, he says, was from the Father. But don't be thinking that this is some kind of authority that's higher than him, that has been given to him. Because in verse 30 of that same passage, when the people are sort of wondering about this authority, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one, Jesus says. When you go to the start of John's Gospel, you will read, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. But don't think for one moment that Jesus then is some kind of created under God that God created to help him. There was nothing created that Jesus didn't create. Jesus is not just the Son of God that we read about or that people saw walking on the earth. Jesus is God, the Son. All the authority of heaven, all the authority on earth is his. So he has the right to command us. He has proved his credentials. He has demonstrated his ability. He has the public recognition. And even amidst of all of that, some doubted. In that Great Commission, it says some doubted. They went, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted in verse 17. With everything that you have heard in your life about Jesus, are you still doubting? Are you still doubting that Jesus is who he says he is? Are you doubting his authority? There was one doubter who was very famous. You might want to turn to this passage till we read it together. And if you're not a doubter, don't think you don't need to read the passage, because this passage might help you deal with someone who is a doubter. So let's turn together to John chapter 20. You know, I think there's people in the world, when they talk about somebody who's a doubter, they say, oh, you're a doubting Thomas. They probably don't even know where that comes from. They probably don't even know that that is a biblical story, and that the doubting Thomas is something we call people today. But John chapter 20, verses 24 to 30. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So a week later, as the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thomas had a personal interaction with Jesus. And then interestingly in that story, it doesn't say that he actually touched his hand or touched his side. He saw it and he believed. My Lord and my God. You see, you don't need a physical interaction. He was blessed by seeing, but Jesus says, you'll be blessed even more by believing without that physical or visual interaction. John tells us, hey, I'm writing this gospel, he says, so that you can believe. These words are true. Jesus is not physically with us. We can't visually see him. But we can still have a personal interaction with him. We can have a personal relationship with him. We can still spend an eternity with him. It is possible today to believe in Jesus, to have life in his name, just as John wrote in this passage. It is possible to become a disciple of Jesus today, if you aren't one already. Because that's what this commission says. The commission says that disciples would be made of all nations. All nations. Not just some nations, not just some people. All people in their entirety of all nations can become followers of Jesus. The command is to go and make disciples. And these 11 did that. They went. They went where Jesus told them to go. They waited for what Jesus told them, what was to come, the Holy Spirit. Then they went out and they talked about Jesus in Jerusalem. You go to Acts, you don't need to go to it now, but read Acts. We've read it before. I'm sure it's familiar to you. They went out and Peter preached and 3,000 became disciples in one day, and that went quickly up to 5,000, and they were added number. They added daily to their numbers. And what happened? They were all there in Jerusalem and they wouldn't go, so God had to persecute them. He had to send persecution to get them to go. They were all sitting too comfortably, so he persecuted them and spread them out, all these people from all over the known world, and out they went. Then you step out of the end of the New Testament into early church history, and you see how that spread around the world. And now we know today that faith in Jesus, Christianity, is a global phenomenon. It's around the world. Just as the oceans are around the world, so too is the good news of the gospel. Not everyone has heard it, but it is around the world. We are still going. Going is important. These disciples didn't sit in the room. They did sit in Jerusalem, and God had to spread them. But we've got to go. We've got to go. We're not to sit and wait for people to come to us. We're to be proactively making disciples. But that's the important part. Here's this old imperative word again. Make disciples. There's two verbs there. Go, that's the thing to do, is the verb to go. And make disciples. The making is the verb, but the make is the imperative. So you could do all the going, but if you're not making disciples, you're not fulfilling the commission. You can go out and do all the good deeds. You can care for people and you can pray for people. You can be involved in church and all the ministries of a church. But it's nothing if the commission is not being met. Whenever I went on my sabbatical for those 4 weeks, I went over to England for a week of that and met with some people over there who have went into churches and helped churches understand why they need revitalized, or should they be revitalized, or what does that revitalization need to look like. And they start looking at all the ministries of those churches and what they used to do and where they're at now, and they look at their history. And all of that comes into this one big pot. And there's only two questions at the end of all that. There's only two things for any congregation to consider. Number one, are we making disciples? And number two, are we discipling those disciples? Are we teaching them? That's the only two questions every congregation needs to ask. And you'll agree, Abby. We have lots of ministries. We have lots of activity. And that's dangerous, you know. Because you can get lost in all of the activity. The activity becomes the main thing. Oh, we must do this. We have to do that. We need to be doing this. We did this last year. We did this the year before. We need to keep doing these things. No, the only thing we need to keep doing is making disciples. And discipling those disciples. We have a role. Each of us who know and love the Lord Jesus. Those of us who are in this room today who are disciples, we have a role in this disciple-making thing. And that is simply to follow the Spirit's leading. We don't save people. We don't go out and because of us people are saved. Salvation is God's. The Holy Spirit convicts people that they're sinful. The Holy Spirit points them to Jesus, reveals Jesus Christ, and God enables them to repent. It's His grace. But God chooses to use us to be part of that revealing process. We do this by living according to His word and then taking opportunities to share that news of what it means to be a disciple. And I'm going to say something, and I am going to say this, and I believe this 100%. There's not very many things you can say 100% on, but I can say this. I think I can say this 100%. Every single person in this room today who is a disciple of Jesus, I am 100% sure that before you became a disciple, you heard about Jesus from somebody else. Would that be fair to say? If you are in this room this morning and you went to bed one night knowing nothing about the gospel, knowing nothing about God, but woke up in the morning and realized there was a God, there was Jesus, there was sin, there was salvation, the cross, resurrection, eternal life, and you could see, if not having heard, I don't believe there's one person in this room who didn't know anything about God and became a Christian. You all heard it from somebody else, didn't you? Somebody took this commission seriously. And you had lots of information about God. Lots of seeds were sown in your life. That's happened from generation to generation to generation. So as disciples, here's a question that we should be asking every day. How can I make disciples today? How can I make a disciple today, Lord? That should be our prayer every morning. And I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you know that I'm honest all the time that I'm up here. But I'm going to be personally honest with you this morning. I've lost this sense. I've lost a sense of my role. And my role as a minister and as a husband and a father and all these different things. But I've lost this sense. And God really spoke to me in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to share a story with you. 20 years ago, roughly, I became a Christian. And there was one person I was dreading to tell. And that was my best mate. I had no problem telling the boys at work. I was the foreman, so I just said, right, boys, you know what happened on the weekend? What happened on the weekend, big man? I get saved. You what? You get saved, right? I says, aye, so there's going to be a couple of things changed around here. Number one is, my language is going to improve, and I would ask if your language would improve as well. So that was one of the first things. So that was just like telling the men, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. That was easy. Telling my family, that was easy because lots of my family were Christians and they were all delighted. This one mate of mine, I was dreading telling him. And I told him. And he stuck out his hand and he said, you're a braver man than me. You see, he had the same upbringing as me in a different town. He went to Sunday school. He was taught. He had all these seeds sown in his life. He was a BB man. And he had all of those things. He'd been to church, youth club, and all of those things. Our lives were very, very similar. So he knew he needed to be saved, but he wasn't saved. And we talked a little bit about what that was like that day, 20 years ago. It's 20 years since I've talked to him about God. We talk about all sorts of things, family and work and holidays and all sorts of things. But I met him last week. And I just said, big man, I'm saved 20 years. And he goes to church. He's involved in his church committee and works hard for the church. But I just asked him, I said, big man, are you saved? And he said, no. And we talked a little bit about why he wasn't saved. And we got to the reason, the thing that's blocking him. And I just said, big man, it's to my shame that I've never talked to you about this. Folks, who is there in your life that you're not talking to about Jesus? People that you're close to. People who God has put into your circle so that you can share this good news with. And I can tell you, I went to bed that night. And quite often you go to, I'm sure you all do this. You go to bed at night and you go, oh Lord, I didn't do that today and I didn't take that opportunity. And we spend a lot of time before we sleep saying sorry for the things that we didn't do. I can tell you, I slept soundly going to bed going, Lord, thank you for that opportunity that I took. And you know what? He's still speaking to me. We're meeting again. We're going to talk a bit more about this. So folks, take those opportunities. How can I make disciples today? That is the question that we are to ask. It's not easy. It definitely isn't easy. But God has given us what we need to do this job. And we don't do it alone. Look at verse 20. We're to go and to teach all things. Teach all the things that God has commanded us. This commission is not just a suggestion. God's not saying to us, you see, if you get half a chance tomorrow, talk to somebody about me. No, he's saying, go and do it. Go and make disciples. That's the reason you're alive. If you're a disciple of Jesus and you're sitting in this room today and you're breathing in and out, the purpose that you're here, not here in this building, that's part of it, but the purpose that you're still alive is to make disciples. And when God is finished with you, when your race is run, God removes you. Just the same way he removed Maureen. She had run the race. When you're here, you have purpose. And whenever God removes you, think back to Father's Day. He'll ask you, did you build with gold, silver and costly stones, or did you build with gold or wood, straw and hay? Sharing the gospel, taking those opportunities. That's the gold, the silver and the costly stones. We are to teach all the things that God has commanded us. It's called the full counsel of God. That's what sometimes people would refer to that. everything in the Bible. It's all in there. And we're to know it. Not all of it, we're to know a lot of it. And there is no shortcut, folks, to knowing what's in the Bible. You just got to read it. You've got to read it and read it and read it and get to know it. And quite often I hear this from Christian people. Oh, I know what you're saying, Dale, but I just don't know the Bible well enough. Now, I don't know what kind of TV programs you watch, if you watch anything with a bit of satire or anything. Sometimes in movies, there's, you know, funny things in movies. So sometimes you get this scene where someone says something to someone else, and then there's a violent scene where they lift something and they hit them around the head, or they shake them, or they do something, and then it comes back to the scene. That's what they were thinking about doing, but they don't actually do it. So you see, if you say to me, Neil, I don't know my Bible well enough, I'm going to be honest with you now and share with what's going on in my head. In my head, I will be taking you by the lapels, and I'll be saying, read this thing! Read it! If you don't know it, get to know it. I'm sure I could sit here and have hour-long conversations about the jobs that you do, because you've read it, you've learned it, you know how you do it. About the hobbies that you have. You've read about it, you're doing it, so you can talk about it. The Bible's there. If you haven't got one at home, I'm sure you've got loads at home. Take one with you. We've loads to spare. Read the Bible. Read it and apply it in your own life. That's the easy part. You see, we think we have to be like some sort of Dot Cotton. You know Dot Cotton from EastEnders? No matter what the scene was, Dot had a Bible verse for it. We don't need to have a Bible verse for everything in our lives. We need to know that we're living our lives according to this. And then what we share with people is our lives. We don't have to share chapter and verse with them. We share what it means for us to read this Bible and to live with that assurance that God is with us. That he has saved us. And in doing all of that, you will come to a couple of passages that will be your favourites. A couple that mean really something to you. Something that you'll be able to recite or point people to. But that comes with time and with experience. Teaching people to obey everything I have commanded you. That teaching starts here. My role, my job, the promises that I made at the front of this church just over five years ago, was to be the teaching elder. That is my responsibility to teach the congregation. But it's not my responsibility alone. We don't just do this on a Sunday and then leave it. We have a number of people who are gifted and equipped for Bible study. We supplement what we do here in our Bible study, so there's opportunities there. We do that in various discipleship groups that meet throughout the week. We do it with our young adults, and it's led by one of our elders, Mark. We have men's groups. We have three groups where men exclusively meet with men to do a Bible study. And we have one group with women who are doing the same, and we're trying to expand that out. So what I'm saying to you this morning is, if you don't know your Bible well enough, there's no excuse. You've got it. You can read it. And if you want to read it with somebody else, which you should do, you have plenty of opportunities in this congregation to learn the Word of God. We're to teach all things to all people, all types of people, all the people that we meet on a weekly basis. We're to teach in church and outside of church. We're to live it. We're to teach it by living it and sharing it. But I want to just spend one wee moment here on a particular focus on the people, on one group of people. And that's our children. Psalm 78 in Deuteronomy chapter 6 commands us to teach children, to teach the next generation, so the next generation can teach the next generation. Do you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be teaching the kids that have just gone out there, to be teaching them in preparation so that they can teach their children and their grandchildren that are not yet born. That's what the Bible says. We're not just teaching for now. Yes, we are teaching for now. But we're teaching for the next generation and the next generation. Just in the same way that you're here because generations who have long gone into heaven taught you. And they were being prepared to teach you before you were even born. Isn't this an amazing thing that God is doing? Does this not blow in your mind? It blows my mind to think about it. But that's what God is doing. He wants us to teach the next generation. And we do that. We've got a Holy Bible Club coming up. And we have some gifted and talented young adults. You're all away, most of them are away this weekend. And we're praying that God will build them up in a special way. You know when you go away to something different, God always does something. But we're praying that God is energizing them for the Holy Bible Club. But you know folks, we just can't stand back and say, here young folk, it's a great job you're doing, fill your boots, work away. We've got to be there with them, helping them, bringing our experience And you know what happens when we bring our experience to young people? You know what happens? We get energized by their energy. Could you spare a week of nights to be here with them? Get your name on the sheet. And guess what? You don't have to stand outside to do it. Don't worry about the weather. We do it all indoors. So you'll not even get wet. You'll be warm and dry doing it. We've got kids going out to K4C every week. But we need additional leaders. The folks here take 4 week slots and are usually out twice a year. But if we had more people doing that, they would be out less. Teaching the next generation so that they're ready to teach the next generation. And there's a wee hidden blessing about volunteering for K4C. You don't have to listen to me for half an hour every Sunday. So there's a wee silver lining. Teaching is what Jesus has commanded us all to do. It takes devotion to be devoted to the Word of God. It takes personal sacrifice to put this and serving the Lord first. It's hard work, no doubt about it. It is hard work. But this is what John says about it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God. To obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Yes, it's hard work, but it's not burdensome. It's not burdensome because we don't do it alone. And I'm not just talking about doing it together in fellowship. We do it because of the promise. Surely I am with you. It says here, surely I am with you always. All the time, that's that word again, in every circumstance, every situation. Jesus is with you as a disciple. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. Everywhere you go, he goes. Everything you do, he is there with you. Every thought you have, he knows it. Psalm 139, where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. You can't go higher or lower, east or west, dark, light, night, day. God sees it all. He is with you all the time. But it's not just there walking alongside you saying, oh, you're doing a good job. Work away. Maybe you want to go there. He actually empowers you to do it. Because the gift that we receive is the Holy Spirit who indwells us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is one Spirit but various gifts. That whole chapter is about the church represented as a body. But these different gifts are given to all disciples. So every single disciple has a gift from the Holy Spirit, has the Holy Spirit within them to empower them to go out and do this work for the common good, it writes in there. The common good, making disciples. That's what we're all about. That's what's common about everything that we do. And we're in a body, 1 Corinthians 12, we're a body with many parts. We all have different functions. We all do different things. I'm going to be talking about that at 3:30 with the orange men on here, about being living stones or a part in the building work of God. Paul wrote, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. All things. Peter says that divine power has given us everything, all things needed for godly living. Folks, all the authority in the world is Jesus. And he has given it to us as his disciples. To go and make disciples of all people. To teach them all things about God from the Word of God. And by his Spirit, he is with us all the time. To the very end of time. That's what it means, to the end of the age. Until Jesus comes back. You're here, you're breathing. This is our commission. It's the mission for all people who give their life to Jesus. People who have received salvation. People who have been called to follow as a disciple. People who are in fellowship with God and with all the other believers in this congregation. People who are the children of God, living a life of worship in all that they do, given of their finances to serve the Lord, living sacrificially to continue the mission that Jesus started, making disciples and discipling disciples. What a privilege, folks, it is to give our lives to Jesus and to be involved in his mission. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the privilege of our salvation, the privilege of being called your children, the privilege of the assurance that we are going to be with you for all eternity. And Lord, we thank you for the call that you've given to us to be involved in helping other people see Jesus. We pray for your word, Lord, that it wouldn't just be a book that we carry or words that we read, but you would indeed impress the words of this upon our hearts, that we can impress these words upon our children, that they would impress them upon their children until you return. Until then, Lord, help us to be on mission for you and with you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to finish our service this morning by singing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Is there a pair of drumsticks there?
Sorry?
Is there a pair of drumsticks there?
Yep.
Do you want me to drum?
Yes.
It's my last Sunday. I'm going to treat myself to drumming. I don't think this song would just work without somebody battering a cymbal. Send us out into your world to shine. As Jesus has shone into the darkness of our lives, so too, Lord, let us shine into this dark world. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon us, enabling us for this work until Christ returns. Amen.